We are back, and now really, really weekly. Up ahead, we do our first giveaway, Datto's Mesh SMB Solutions, CES Roundup, compute cards, and a whole lot more. It's Channel Pro Weekly, episode 31, Drone Swarms, and a giveaway. Hello, and welcome to Channel Pro Weekly, episode 31. My name is Matt Whitlock, technology editor and your pseudo-host of this particular podcast. Let me be the first to say welcome back to everyone. Welcome back to executive editor and awesome person who's got a rapid heartbeat because she rocks and she's always on hyper go drive. That's a thing. Cecilia Galvin.
Why, thank you so much.
I'm a little rusty, as you can tell.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
Yeah, but...
I'm a little rusty, too. Different way.
We'll get back into it. Speaking of rust, the guy who loves rusty-colored T-shirts and polo shirts and undershirts and ties. Because you do wear, like, a rust color red often, I have noticed. Isn't that true?
Now and again.
Yep. Senior news editor, Rich Freeman.
Thank you, sir. I am shaking off the cobwebs as we speak here.
Yeah, so this is Channel Pro Weekly, formerly the show known as Channel Pro Week. Channel Pro, whenever the hell we can get a show out the door. So we will take a couple minutes to address that with some awesome news for our listeners. So as you all know, if you are subscribed. There was nothing for quite a while, starting roughly around, you know, almost around October, until like last week. There was a big hiatus, and then last week you probably saw like six episodes all go up at once, because we were recording in that time span here and there, but with our kind of crazy recording schedule and so all of the things that were kind of getting in my way of getting the shows edited and put together and up online, we kind of fell behind. And then I'm like, you know, this is happening too much. Why don't we take a pause with what we have? We'll wait, and then we will fix it. And basically, in order to fix it, we needed to find someone other than me to get shows cut together, because just my schedule just doesn't allow me to do this as consistently as it used to. So the good news, everyone, is we are back. We are committed to a weekly format again. And I can say with confidence it will be weekly every Friday, because I'm not the one cutting the shows together anymore. We have someone else who is going to be taking care of that for us. And she is awesome. She got all six of our backlog shows done in a very short period of time, and her name is Miss Linnell, and she's great. So, Cecilia,
yay,
Rich,
Linnell, yay,
Linnell. See, we'll give Linnell a shout out for getting all that done. So, Rich, you excited about this?
I am, we had an issue. We have fixed the issue. We are back, folks, and I just want to say a big thank you to the people who are listening now and have stuck with us and been patient with us, and we appreciate your listening, and we are not gonna disappear on you again, folks.
Yeah, we are very committed to going back to the weekly format. And you know, if you go back and listen to some of the shows that got posted recently, I'm aware of some of the news that's in there is going to be a little dated. But we don't always talk so much about news, and we always tend to dive into a lot of other things. So I encourage you to go back and listen to some of those, because there was some really good stuff in some of those shows, and some of the interviews were very compelling and very good. So if you have time to go back and listen to some of the ones that we got posted, great. Otherwise, everything will be very timely going forward, which I'm like super excited about. And we've got lots of ideas to improve the show, and we've got something fun we're gonna do. We're gonna do a giveaway on this particular show. Like we're Ooh. Not only are we back, we are doubling down.
Ooh.
in all kinds of ways. So a few things. One, today or tomorrow, you should be able to find us in the Google Play Music Store. You all should also be able to find us on Stitcher soon, and a whole bunch of other places online. So we are going full throttle ahead into Channel Pro Weekly. So it's exciting. Round of applause, everyone. Yay!
Yay! The
crowds are cheering. So tell your friends and stay tuned, because we're going to get to a giveaway opportunity here in a minute. It's a pretty cool product. So make sure you keep listening on that. So we normally would take a couple minutes to say, like, hey, what have we been up to? Blah, blah, blah. But it's been so long, like, we don't have 6 years to go through what we've been up to, like, in the last 2 months. So, Cecilia, kind of what have you been up to this week?
Well, this is a big push for both the March issue and getting our very first event guide put together to kick off 2017 events. So, pedal to the metal on all things in print.
Yeah, 2017 events are coming up.
Yes.
Our first one is in Atlanta. We got some fun topics that we're doing. We're not doing a hardware room this time. I guess we can kind of get to that another time, unless we want to talk about that now. But we got lots of cool stuff coming up in Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta area, March 2nd, be sure to join us and learn some stuff and have a great time.
Yeah, I'll dive in there and just plug the Atlanta event very quickly before we continue chatting about the last week there. And I encourage people to go to events.channelpronetwork.com or just go to channelpronetwork.com and follow the events link there. And you can look at the agenda and the presenters. And we're all really, really excited about this year's events. This Atlanta event is the first of four we will be doing. And we've got some great, great sessions coming up on profiting from channel convergence, the whole telco print copy IT convergence. If you're not thinking about it now, you need to be. We will give you some great advice on how to deal with that. We're going to be talking about stuff that you should be doing in terms of how you run your business now to maximize your sale price when you're ready to get into an exit plan later on. And awesome panel there. I'm really looking forward to that. We're going to talk about how to create a specialized security practice. Matt has this super fun, cool session he's going to be leading that we've sort of formatted like a TV game show that you will recognize. We don't want to use the name of the show because there are trademarks involved, but it's
we're cheap. We don't want to pay licensing. So,
you know. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We can't afford to. But we'll be running a game show, and it'll be a great way for Matt to share his unbelievably deep knowledge of what's going on in hardware and such. So lots and lots of good stuff. Events.channelpronetwork.com. Check it out. And if you're anywhere near the Atlanta area, we hope to see you there.
Yeah. And by the way, this game show, I'm going all in on it. It's going to be visually very impressive. The flow is going to be fun. And I got this really cool wireless buzz-in system. It is awesome. So, like, you'll be at the table, you'll be able to buzz in, and it's going to be so much fun.
Now,
really
just remember, this is the hardware geek. He has buzzers. He says they're fun. He means it.
Yeah. Yeah, wireless, it light up, they have different options, like, if you're wrong, I can lock you out and let everybody else buzz back in, and they got LEDs, and they light up, and like, it's so cool. So, yeah, you gotta come to Atlanta, or if you're not in Atlanta, don't worry, we're going to be in Chicago in May, we're going to be in Long Beach in September, and the New York area in November.
November.
So, yeah, so we're going to be all over the place. Hopefully you can find your way to one of our shows. It's going to be awesome. All right, Rich, you are at an HTG peer groups meeting this week, right?
Yes, I was. And how well did that time out, by the way? I am from Seattle. That is where I make my home. And people may or may not be aware that we got some snow in Seattle Sunday night and Monday morning. And when I say some snow, I'm talking like 3 inches which is like, you know, the great blizzard of 2017 and by Seattle standard. We have two snowplows, 3 inches shuts the city down. But I managed to get out of here on Monday and go down to Phoenix, which was a great place to be this week, for the Q1 meeting of HTG peer groups. And Celia will know exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, for as long as Channel Pro has existed, we both have been talking to people who are HTG peer group members, and the members we know just rave about the organization and the value of what they learn. And I don't think anyone from Channel Pro has ever actually attended one of these quarterly peer group get-togethers. And thank you very much to Arlen Sorensen, who is the creator and head of HTG peer groups. He invited me to come and observe, and that's what I was doing this week. I won't spill too many of the beans here, because we've got a story coming up for, I believe, the April issue of the magazine about what I saw and learned, and it was just very, very interesting stuff is what I'll say for now.
Well, actually, in the very beginning, when the magazine was started, HTG maybe had 12 different peer groups at the time, and they were doing a peer group meeting in Durham, North Carolina. And I went to that, and that's where I met a lot of the people that we still engage with, one of whom is Dave Seibert. And that's when I met Dave. That's when we became friendly. And Dave has been a part of the Channel Pro family ever since.
So there you go. There's
There's
a connection.
Yep.
Go to the HTG peer groups. You'll make lifelong friends and perhaps a little romance.
Hey,
it's like channel dating.
It is not.
I know. I'm kidding.
This is channel dating. My work husbands.
Work husbands. That's why I love that. That's awesome. All right. The last thing I need is another wife, let alone a work wife and a home wife, and let's not go there.
Good point.
All right, so let's dive into a little bit of news. Rich, I'm looking at our show notes here. I'm going to bump this up so we can just kind of cover the news all at once. I will let you go first. You got some news about Datto. Let's dive into that.
Yeah. And this is actually news not just from this most recently completed week, but the week before. This was news that broke on January 31st, but it was significant enough that I wanted to spend just a few minutes chatting about it on the show here, because it has to do with Datto's networking product line and strategy. Which we've been talking about on the show on and off again pretty much as long as the show has existed. So it's an interesting story, the way it's evolved. So once upon a time, Datto started telling people that they were going to create this a box, a piece of hardware, basically, that they were calling the Datto Network Appliance, or Datto DNA. And it was going to kind of help people basically connect to online and keep the infrastructure that you need to have operational in order to keep clients backed up and running continually. So interesting in and of itself that they were going to be starting to kind of get into networking at all, given that Datto is obviously best known for BDR. And then over time, this system and Datto's ambitions have been kind of growing and growing. They came very close to releasing the first Datto DNA product back in June 2016 in conjunction with their annual DattoCon event, and decided not to do it fairly late in the day there, almost at the last minute, because they liked what they had, but based partly on feedback from MSPs, they're thinking, okay, it needs to do more. We need to get Wi-Fi connectivity. We need to add 4G LTE failover to this thing. It's got to do more. So they did the right thing. They kind of backed off. They continued to work on that DNA product. And so what happened on January 31st is they finally released Datto DNA, but they surprised us all by not just releasing that Datto DNA product, but by releasing an entire new Datto networking product line. So they acquired a company called OpenMesh that makes Wi-Fi switches and access points. And Datto now has this entire kind of networking solution. And you know, the Datto DNA product has sort of evolved into a full-scale unified threat management firewall kind of system. So this it's just a really interesting extension of their whole brand and strategy, which has from the beginning been about business continuity. They're now kind of redefining business continuity to include network continuity, if you will, and just really kind of interesting stuff and a big step for them.
Cool. So this open mesh stuff, is this is it actually like a mesh networking technology that they deploy in their access points? So like, do you just set it out there and turn it on, and then like, you know, it just creates another. Trying to ask this question on how like mesh networking works, but like if you set one really far away, like, you know, will it add itself and relay through the mesh, or is it the open mesh just a like a marketing name?
So I will answer to the best of my ability because I don't know for certain, but based on what I do know about the solution and what the folks from Datto told me about it, I think the answer will be yes, this functions in that sort of mesh way that you're talking about there. It's designed to be really, really easy to set up and to manage. I mean, the access points have QR codes on them, and there's a mobile app you put on your smartphone. You just scan the QR code, and the back end of this system automatically adds the access point to the network, and you don't have to think about it anymore. I mean, it's that kind of an approach to how everything works. So it's very automated and hands off. So I believe the answer to your question is yes.
Cool, that's awesome. More Datto stuff.
I'm telling you, the company is really on a roll.
I don't know. They've been on a roll for like 4 years now.
Forever. Always.
But it's been a big year. I mean, it was, I guess, March 2000. So, I mean, you know, a little under a year that they entered the file sync and share space. That was a kind of an extension for them. I mean, they're branching out. They're getting into, you know, adjacent markets, right. and especially in the last year.
Eventually, they're going to have a monopoly. We must all pledge our allegiance to Datto.
Yeah. I'm going to get up in the morning and make my coffee in my Mr. Datto coffee machine.
QR codes on the top of your little
Datto cups. Cool? And then it gives you the kind of coffee you want based on the QR code you do. I'll have an Americana. I'll have a double espresso.
We want a piece of the profits, Austin McCord. You got that idea from us.
Right. That's right. I think coffee continuity is going to be the next big market for me. All right. So in other news, on the hardware front, Lenovo had a new lineup of mobile workstations that they recently showed off at the SolidWorks World 2017 conference. I love notebooks, and I particularly love mobile workstations because they're not small, they're not svelte, but man, they pack a wallop, and they're workhorse machines that get things done. So they actually have one. The P51 actually is a kind of an ultrabook style mobile workstation. So I mean, now, you know, before, like, we had ultrabooks and then we had the mobile workstations, which were still big giant monsters, but now they're starting to
overlap. What's the difference between the P51 and the P51S?
The P51 and the P51S would be in silver. Would be my guess.
Okay. So you come black or silver.
Yeah, I believe the P51S is just silver.
Okay.
But I don't see that in the release. I didn't even see the P51S. Where are you looking on the website?
I'm looking at your story.
Where do you see P51S? Oh, P51S.
There were three models.
How about that?
P51S. Okay, I don't know. I'm wrong. Okay, so The P51 is the Ultrabook build that I was just getting to.
Okay.
You're just getting ahead of me here. Okay. The P51 adds a 4K IPS display, and with a bigger color gamut, Pantone color calibrator, so on and so forth. And then there's the VR-ready ThinkPad P71. They're all mil-spec tested, as most of them are. They all include Xeon processors and 2.4 gigahertz DDR4 memory. So the P51S is a mobile workstation. It's 0.8 inches thick and only weighs 4.3 pounds, which, I mean, 4.3 pounds is, you know, not...
crazy light.
It's not crazy light, but for a workstation...
For an Ultrabook.
Yeah. Yeah, for an Ultrabook, but for a workstation, I mean, most of the time, these things are like 7 or 8 pounds, so...
Yeah.
So that is definitely pretty cool. So, P51S starts at right around $1,000, and the P51, P71 will be in April, $1,400 and $1,900, respectively. There's some spec difference between all three models. If you follow the link in the story... then you can go and you can look at all the spec differences, but they look nice, pretty cool stuff from Lenovo.
I'm an old timer, so I still am amazed at price points on products like this right now. If you just kind of consider the what you're getting and the power that these systems provide, you know, $1,349 for the 17-inch. I don't know. To me, that just seems like a pretty good deal.
For a Xeon-based workstation, yeah, they have come down in price some. Now it's like, you know, the premium systems are generally like as small and as light as you can make them, and that is a price, you know, that's like a price premium stuff, and then workstations were just always kind of expensive just because of the parts inside. It's all coming down. You know, pretty soon they'll be giving away laptops and Cracker Jack boxes. Real small ones. Probably not, you know. But
no, they'd even have to reduce the size of the NUC.
Yeah, or increase the size of the Cracker Jack box. More value, more Cracker Jacks for everyone.
I guess
hopefully they put it in a little bag though, so like the little peanut brittle and the, you know.
People still eat that, right? They still sell Cracker Jacks, right?
Yeah, of course,
sure.
Do they
American
sell it at the ball game?
Yeah, that's where I see it. But
yeah, of course.
You can still buy it in the grocery store, I'm sure. Not that like anybody would like, go look, but like, I try to not to go down the snack aisle because I put on weight just when I look at the snack aisle, so I'd rather not go down there. CES. So let's talk. We did a big CES roundup in our February issue.
Yeah.
So if people have that, you can kind of...
Not quite yet. There. They probably don't have that quite yet. A couple days.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So now you can tell them what they can look forward to.
Ooh, all right. Well, I'm not gonna have any spoilers then, but we'll talk about, like, one thing. But we did do a big CES roundup. Lots of stuff out of CES. Holy cow, I don't even know if I know where to begin. But I'm going to begin with the one thing that I really wanted to talk about on the show here, which is that there's a new kind of computer. Okay, before I get into that, let me tell you how many times Cecilia has yelled at me.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
she was constantly yelling at me last year. She's like, don't talk about the compute sticks anymore. I don't want to hear anything else about compute sticks. We've done enough coverage on compute sticks. Blah, 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 blah. And I can tell her with confidence, we're not going to talk about compute sticks anymore. Instead, all this year, every show, every article, I'm going to talk about compute cards.
Thank you, Matt.
Just to drive you crazy. So, no, but like compute cards, this is either going to be nothing or it's going to be a big thing. And I hope that it actually. It actually becomes a big thing. It's pretty cool. So, Rich, did you get to take a look at the compute cards?
I did, yeah. I have not handled one, but yeah, I was very interested in that product when they first announced it. It's a It's about the size of a credit card, right?
Yeah, hair thicker than that, but yeah, roughly about the size of a credit card. So this is kind of like where I saw the compute sticks going. But one of the differences of the compute sticks is it doesn't require any kind of special connector built into a display in order to connect to it. You just, you know, it's like HDMI, and they could do DisplayPort or whatever down the road. So I still think there's a very healthy future for compute sticks for certain applications. But compute cards is a standardized solution to deal with things that with smart devices that generally are unupgradable. So if this standard, this form factor is embraced, if, for example, Samsung releases a line of smart TVs based on smart card, well, what they could do is, like, the TV would have built-in a smart card slot designed to fit, like, the standard form factor. And then down the road, like, if, you know, because what goes really wrong with smart TVs really isn't always the TV. It's the fact that, like, the software and stuff gets so outdated and the hardware that's in it can't run new software and, you know, then you have to, like, throw away the whole TV. Well, now they could sell, like, upgrade kits with a new compute card that has better hardware, better software, whatever, and then you could take the old one out, slide the new one in, and bam, you have a fully upgraded smart TV, for example.
That's nice.
Yeah, and that slot could be extended to anything with smart guts. It could be a smart refrigerator. It could be, which actually, I think, this could be huge in, like, the white box appliances, because, like, you know, you don't generally replace your refrigerator every 2 years, but if you're going to release a smart refrigerator, you have to be able to have some mechanism to keep the internals and the guts modern, right? Because you don't,
right.
You know, because a 10-year difference, like, what were computers like 10 years ago? I mean, it's a night and day thing. So this smart card platform would allow them to do those kinds of things. It also, my dream for compute sticks was also very, you know, very hardware as a service vision. Like, I always saw this really inexpensive computer that's powerful enough for productivity that rather than deploy, you know, 8,000, you know, computers that you have to, you know, maintain or whatever, you could lease or rent fully packaged solutions on compute sticks, and then you only have to roll out monitors, and employees can, jack in to a monitor wherever they are, or if one breaks, you know, you just re-image one, send it in an envelope, and they plug it in. You know, smart card also has that kind of concept. I think that even more better. Come on, Cecilia, you're gonna yell at me for saying
more betterer.
Mm-hmm. It's almost an even better hardware as a service solution. If the smart card guts can be, you know, as powerful as like the compute sticks, because you can imagine a customized line of monitors where, you know, it's a monitor, you plug all your peripherals into it, it has a smart card slot, employee takes their smart card, you know, their smart compute card, plugs it into the monitor, boom, and then they don't have to worry about power or any of that other stuff. It's all powered off of the monitor. And that could be a great solution for students in schools. So if this compute card slot really did become a huge standard where, like, it's just built into everything, you really could have your own personal computer that you plug into any display or wherever you're at, and you can do it that way. So,
okay, let me ask you something about that.
Yeah.
So with this type of a product, how long... Like, now we know Intel's introduced it and whatever. How long does it generally take before it kind of shakes out whether this is going to be, you know, the next, you know, the best thing since sliced bread or not? Like, how long, what is the life cycle of kind of figuring out where this will end up?
Yeah, so I would say we will know the compute card fate. I would say within 3 years.
Okay.
So here's what they need to do. One, and this will depend on a couple factors. How well they've thought through the form factor itself and the connector.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing about things like this is that that connector, you know, like the worst thing that could happen is they release like compute card slot 2, right, where the pinout is incompatible. So mm-hmm. then like anything that's out there that runs on this compute card, like you can't jack in a new one, right? That would okay. suck. Mm-hmm. So the slot really has to be well thought out for the future and robust, and they can't make changes to it that would make things incompatible. They need to get one or two large OEMs to release their, you know, to shake it out like in the OEM market, like as an upgrade to, you know, future smart TVs relying on this and that kind of thing. And then we'll have okay. to see how powerful the compute card gets, because right now I'm not convinced it's going to be as powerful as a compute stick. I mean, I could be wrong on that, but I'm not convinced that that's going to be the case in the short term. So we'll just have to see how much oomph they can cram into that little tiny card okay. slot. And at that point, its fate is really dependent on whether or not it's inexpensive to put into screens. So if the slot is inexpensive, and manufacturers can just build that slot in as any other port that they would already build in. There's a good chance it could get some legs, but you know the great thing about standards is that you know everybody's got their own standard, and
yeah,
you know when you have 13 standards, nothing's really standard, so it could crash and burn and really go nowhere. That's why I think the compute stick has a lot of legs, because it doesn't rely on a proprietary slot. It works right. with existing hardware with HDMI, so I think that is kind of a boon for the compute sticks. But this could be, so whether or not this really has any legs in the computing, you know, productivity computing market, the compute card really could be big in appliances, digital signage, you know, TVs, and a whole bunch of smart devices that currently have no upgradable hardware path.
So yeah, that kind of gets to what I was going to ask about. So you know, we were talking about smart TVs and smart appliances. So there's an opportunity for OEMs basically to leverage this device in interesting ways. And then you were talking about the hardware as a service opportunity, which is for the most part, you know, a vision, something that could happen, but isn't necessarily happening now. Although I will say very, very quickly. There is, and I don't know if you've seen this before, but there's a product already from a company called NexDock, NexDock, which I guess, I don't know very much about it, but it's sort of like a brainless laptop with an Intel compute card slot, and you can just kind of put your card in there, and now you've got I think it's actually a two-in-one laptop. So there is actually a product out there that could do what you were kind of talking about before from a hardware as a service standpoint. But my question
yeah,
for you is...
I'm looking at it right now.
It kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
And I don't even know what the price points are like on this, but yeah, certainly worth investigating.
Yeah, getting the hardware internals in a spot where you can remove and replace gives a lot of shelf life to a particular notebook, because that's a lot of waste, you know? So like, oh, my laptop is now super slow. Well, you know, you can't just easily rip open a laptop and replace the motherboard and the processor and the RAM, right? It's all soldered in and a huge part of the device itself. So it gets too slow, you throw the whole thing away and you get a new one. This solves that problem for a lot of mobile devices, and even things like NAS devices. You know, like, oh, my NAS doesn't... For example, I have a NAS that doesn't support hardware encryption because the processor that's in it doesn't have it. Well, if they had this compute card, if it was based on a compute card, you could upgrade, like, you know, take that out, upgrade the processor with a new compute card that does support hardware encryption and breathes new life into this otherwise perfectly acceptable appliance. So pretty cool concept.
And where quickly is the opportunity for somebody listening to this podcast now? So like you mentioned digital signage. If we're not looking at, you know, speculative applications for this device, if somebody's wondering, well, what can I do with this in the next 12 months? Is digital signage the, you know, the first or only thing that comes to mind, or are there other sort of short-term uses?
For the channel, anybody investing in a digital signage would be I think a pretty obvious point. My NAS example works. We'll have to see because you have to be able to get that slot. I don't think most people doing digital signage are like building their own displays, you know. So that connector has to be a little more ubiquitous and available in other things. But I think it's coming. So maybe in the next year, I don't know how much opportunity we're going to see to use that. But if you're planning things new, like a NAS you're going to release next year, you might want to think about Compute Card if you want to offer upgradable, you know, internals, as you know, revenue boosting opportunities down the road. So we'll just have to see. I'd love to get, you know, like some channel guys who actually like build stuff, to chime in and see what they really see, where they see the opportunities in the short term.
Very cool.
Yeah. All right, cool. Cecilia, anything else you want to talk about out of the CES, or should I give a little bit of teaser?
Well, yeah, the one thing I wanted you to talk about also is that Project Valerie, the notebook prototype that they made with the three screens. That is so wild.
It's awesome. All right, so Razer, I love Razer. They're just doing some awesome stuff. So Razer generally focused originally on gaming peripherals like mice and keyboards and that kind of stuff. And they've been slowly gravitating into other markets like headsets and gaming tablets and gaming notebooks. So they showed off a prototype called Project Valerie that is just out of this park awesome. So it's a clamshell laptop that has
for gaming, right?
This would be a hell of a mobile productivity solution. Ooh. Are you kidding me? But it's really designed for gamers, but it's got three 17.3-inch 4K screens. So you open up the laptop and then like these are like automated, like motorized screens that kind of they're like fold like on top of or inside or somehow onto the middle section. So like when you carry it around, it's like a normal laptop computer, but then these screens like motorize and they come outward and extend to the side. So you have like this giant three screen array with a combined resolution of 11,520 by 2160. So I put a line in here that says proving that madness and genius are often one and the same. This thing is amazing. I hope they actually release this thing to the public, because there are a lot of people like me who are very used to multi-screen setups, and doing multi-screen on when you're mobile is generally very difficult, if not impossible, unless you carry like another little screen with you and plug it in. So having an integrated solution like this, I mean, great for gamers, but great for people like me that like drive themselves bonkers when they only have one screen.
I just thought that was the coolest thing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I'll tell the truth, this I'm brand new to it right now. I missed this entirely somehow. I'm looking at it now, and the other thing, the least sort of important dimension of this, but it is a factor, is just the sort of fashion accessory aspect of this. I mean, you will own the room when you open this thing up, wherever you are. You know what I mean? You will be the coolest thing within 10 miles when you open this thing up and the screens fold out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. You can sit down at a Starbucks with this thing. You're gonna be the king. All right.
Oh, and there was one other thing that I did want to mention about this. Not so much about that particular product, but about the CES roundup that Matt did. Is it's in the February print issue, but when if you go online and you read it online, there's more information in there than could fit in the print. So
yeah, I went there was a lot to talk about. So like when I submitted to Cecilia, it was like with all the images, and there was like 18 pages long, and she's like, we have to truncate this, like we don't have room.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we had to kind of like chop it down into 3 pages, and a section that was in there that I talked about, we actually got completely removed and will be the gear column in March, which means since half of it's written, I might actually get it submitted on time, which would be like another miracle.
I was going to say that's pretty miraculous.
That would be a miracle. So we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, lots of cool stuff. I don't want to drone on too much about it. The article's online. There's a lot of exciting things I think we're going to be talking about this year, particularly what the Surface Studio has inspired. So these like dial kinds of things and touchscreen, you know, the Surface Studio kind of like folds down into like an easel art, but Dell showed off like just a flat, kind of working touch panel that sits below the monitor that you can use things like the Surface Dial and their own little dial thing. I think we're going to see a lot of that in the productivity space this year. Great improvements in monitors. 4K will be, I think, really big. Lots of great stuff. So read through that, and then we'll have much more to talk about on all this stuff throughout the year. Cool.
Completely.
I'm talking to myself now. Cool. All right. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to do one little story that'll lead into our giveaway, and then we're going to listen to an interview with a really cool, you know, small, but, you know, I think it's going to be a very interesting discussion of WIP vendor. So we'll be right back with that. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. All right, and we are back. So last year, we reviewed a really cool access point system from Linksys, the AP1750 Pro. And shortly after we did that review, we noted that Linksys came out with a big software and firmware update that made these... they made these clusterable for free. So on how you can create like an access point, you know, multi-zone access point system without having to like duplicate, you know, all your settings individually. Like it just kind of all hooks in together and is very nice and seamless. And they give you the option of doing that basically for free, which is pretty cool. It caught my attention and it caught a lot of other people's attention. So we decided to go back and take a look at that clustering and look at what that is like to set up, kind of like a how to use the Linksys MaxStream Wi-Fi family to create like a you know, they didn't send us like 15 of these things to cluster, but you know, enough of them to cluster together so you can kind of see how it all works. So Mr. Gaskin went through all that and posted a great review with his experience with that. So if you're outfitting a small office where you need like maybe 6 or 7 access points, this is I think a great solution for that and something that you might want to take a look at. So Cecilia, did you get a chance to peek through that, or Rich?
I looked at it very quickly, yeah, and I remember we had talked about it before because did we give them an award? I'm thinking.
In fact, that was one of the reasons why we
decided to review it.
It's all coming back to me. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that got us got them in kind of the all-star status for shaking up the what was, you know, for the SMB grade wireless networking area to, you know, start adding in some of these features like clustering, which generally were in more of the enterprise-y kind of products. So that's kind of what brought them into the all-star category.
Got it.
Yeah, so neat stuff. So if you hit our show notes, there'll be a link there where you can take a read of that. But that leads us right into our giveaway.
Ooh,
stuff. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, we want to make Channel Pro Weekly a weekly thing for you and to get people excited and listening and to kind of get you out there talking about it. And one of the great ways to do that is to do giveaways, and we'll have fun things that we do with giveaways and product throughout the year. I can't promise we'll have one every show. It's when I can get my hands on something. But our fine friends at Linksys have decided to donate a AC2600 MU, or MU MIMO as I like to call it, but an MU MIMO wireless router, the AC2600. It's an awesome router. It's, you know, $250-ish value. So if you would like to go get one of these to call your very own, which would be like the base of the MaxStream Wi-Fi family that you could start adding access points and stuff to, we are going to be giving one of these away. So what you need to do is send us any tweet or any message on Facebook using the hashtag ChannelProWeekly. So say whatever you want, but just use the hashtag ChannelProWeekly. Say hi, say, hey, I listened, I want to enter. Say whatever you want. So send us a tweet or message on Facebook using the hashtag ChannelProWeekly. Our handle on Twitter is @ChannelProSMB. And on Facebook, we are ChannelPro Network on Facebook. So you'll find us, follow us, like us on Facebook, and send us that Twitter message, and you will be entered to win. Since it's our first one, we're kind of getting back. Do you want to give people 2 weeks to enter, guys? What do you think? 2 weeks, 1 week, maybe two, just so.
Two weeks is fine. Yeah. What the heck? Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say two shows from now. So on episode 33, we will announce the winner, just because, you know, we've been kind of on that hiatus. So let's give people and everybody one extra week to enter. Trust me, your odds of winning, I think, are probably going to be very good.
I would
think so. Just, you know, given the hiatus and
sure,
and that kind of thing. So yeah, so make sure you go and do that. Any tweet or message on Facebook using the hashtag ChannelProWeekly, and we will enter you to win, and we will choose one of y'alls at random. So hit the show notes page if you want to see the hashtag, but ChannelProWeekly, it's not that hard to spell. You should be able to do that. So. Rich, we've got a very interesting interview with somebody in the consumer SMB VoIP space, another company I kind of have a storied history with, actually, but I'm going to let you go ahead and introduce this interview.
Yeah. This is an excerpt from an interview that was conducted, actually, by our mutual boss, ChannelPro publisher Michael Siggins. He did this late-ish last year, and he was speaking with Kim Sullivan, who's vice president of sales at UMA. And most people listening right now are familiar with UMA. They see the ads on TV. The company is best known, as you say, for their consumer VoIP offering, but they also have a business product. And so Michael started the conversation with Tim Sullivan off by asking him who that business version of UMA is right for.
How would you describe the market for these solutions, again, with the resellers in mind, like the opportunities sort of across the U.S. and maybe the size of it and the types of companies that you think a partner should target?
Well, we, as a company, we decided to leverage our ability to create ease of use and installation to focus on that very small business. I personally call it micro SMB. It's under 20 employees, and that is a segment that is not served very well in terms of value by the voice over IP product selection that's available out there. What we are doing is making available to that segment an easy to use, easy to manage, and powerful a VoIP service that takes into account all the peculiarities of that particular market. And I'll get to some of that in a little bit, some of our secret sauce, if you will. But the cool thing from a reseller's perspective is most resellers are focusing on small to medium business, but really 20 and above seats, which makes it worthwhile for them to roll a truck, to invest the time, and make it affordable for the client. A lot of times, and I talk to a lot of resale partners as they come on board, they're really excited about partnering with UMA because we give them the opportunity to service that client that might have 5 employees, someone that might not normally be able to use their services, or the services that they represent with very expensive systems like Cisco or Avaya, that kind of thing. I kind of refer to it as the opening price point. And I've talked to a lot of resellers who say, you know, we used to turn down one, two, three of these opportunities. In one case, I spoke to a reseller who said he used to get three a day that he'd just have to turn away because it just wasn't worth him investing the time in it. It would take too much time to set up and probably be too expensive for that client. Now that he has Ooma available, he has a very easy to set up and manage system that he can deploy mostly from his office before he rolls a truck, even to go see the customer, have it pre-configured and ready to install, and spend a very short amount of time on the client premises getting the system set up. So they're very excited about it.
All right, cool. And then, what's the revenue opportunity like? Is there a sale component? Is there an ongoing service plan component that the partners can make money on?
Yes. We figure there's about 30 million businesses in the U.S., or excuse me, in North America, that have less than 20 employees. And it's often stated, there's 6 million businesses that are started every year in the U.S. alone and about 5 million that close. Not always the same ones, hopefully. But there's always new opportunities in the small business market. And we have a reward structure for our resale partners that's very competitive to some of the larger players in the enterprise space, with, for example, offering 4x monthly recurring revenue as a one-time commission payment just for the setup and installation of a new customer with us. And then depending on the reseller's business models, we have varying plans that allow them perhaps to take advantage of hardware sales and some generous margins on the hardware, whether that's IP phones or our base unit. And then there is a small ongoing residual percentage that they can qualify for with a certain amount of business with us that will run on for many, many years to come. So it's an interesting opportunity that has a couple of different angles and different ways to make money.
Okay, great. Now, back to you had mentioned sort of the ease with some of the partners who, let's say, they're traditionally an IT, they're a service provider for IT primarily, and then they can get in. Mm-hmm. You talked about how easy it is. What about the sort of the pitch?
Yeah, we have. The cool thing is that we can sign them up as an affiliate. Now, for someone, I have a couple that signed on early in our program that do nothing but service. On-site printers, and they've got about 50 clients they see on a regular basis. They're not really in voice over IP and telecom, but they were really interested in the opportunity because they were Ooma users personally, and they thought that, well, we'd love to sell this, but we really don't know much about the category, and it takes a lot of time, they thought, to get ramped up and knowledgeable. But we developed a program, an affiliate program, that allows them to furnish us leads. And we will, and our internal team will go work that lead on their behalf, keeping in mind that it's their client. We want to treat them give them the white glove treatment. And the IT partner can then earn the same 4x MRR one-time commission on that lead when it closes as they would if they were also handling sale of hardware and installation. So it's a very generous affiliate program, we think, and one that a lot of resellers are signing up for are very happy with.
What about, tell us more about the partner program. What other sort of components are there that you think really helps to take care of your partners?
Well, we've partnered with a couple of distribution companies, D&H being one of our largest, to allow the partner to direct fulfill or take title and resell hardware, both our base unit, our Lynx devices, which I do want to get into as one of the most popular items to the program for our resale partners, the Lynx devices and IP phones. And we have a very generous product margin program for them in addition to their reward on the recurring revenue that they set up for a client. So the Lynx device, and I want to get into that in just a second here, or go to that in a little more detail. It's actually a unique item that, as far as I know, no one else has. It's a DECT 6 remote extension. What this means is that you can pair up to 4 remote telephones, analog, with your base unit on premises without running any network cabling. At the get-go, that can save a client $1,000 to $2,000 on a new build-out. If you're building, let's say, a new shop just putting the network cabling in can cost you an arm and a leg, and this makes an incredible savings for the resale partner to pitch his client on, and makes his service to that client that much more attractive. So we have, and each of those sell for $49 a piece. We have, a very high margin on the sale of those items. And when you compare it to the cost of running cabling, the client is more than happy to pay such a nominal amount, and everybody wins.
Okay. What about mobile offerings?
Well, the system comes complete with a companion mobile app. Every user on the Ooma Office system gets a mobile app, which gives them full functionality from his mobile phone, either using the digital spectrum, for 4G LTE, or using local Wi-Fi as necessary. But he gets full functionality, can manage his entire system from his mobile phone. In fact, we have a new product called Ooma Office for Mobile, which they can download for 30 days and try for free just from their mobile phone to get a sense of how the system works, how easy it is to manage. And so it kind of allows them to kick the tires on the system before they make a commitment to buy. And we're encouraging resellers to have their clients test drive the product with their mobile phone before they even jump on board. And so far, we just launched that just about, 4 weeks ago. So far, it's been a big success with us. We're really happy with the outcome there. So it's just another tool that a reseller in the channel can use to, without a lot of investment, get his clients interested in the Ooma offering and then deploy it as the client gets excited and interested in the program.
Okay, something you had mentioned earlier, which I wanted to come back to. You mentioned it was about driving leads for the business owner. What was that lead generation component? Can you tell me about that?
This is a business promoter. And it's a system where we can help a business get found. So, I was some years ago, I started my own company, and I remember one of the, apart from building out the store, hiring the employees, promoting the business was one of the most important things I attempted to do. And I have a background in marketing. I thought I was going to be an expert at it. But, it's a lot of hard work to get to the top of the fold on a Google search in your category. What Business Promoter does is helps that business drive phone calls to their business, and you only pay for the calls that come in. So we actually have to do a qualification for the business to see if we can actually service them. And it's a no-risk trial to sign up for the program, see if it works for a client or if we can service that client, and then put a program in place. But it can drive incremental call volume just by helping that business get noticed on the internet. And it's measurable because then we have a dedicated phone number for those leads, so we can actually track the results that we get.
All right. And that was publisher and boss extraordinaire Michael Siggins speaking with Tim Sullivan from Ooma. So Rich, let me get your thoughts first. What did you take away from that interview?
So I guess there are two things that jump out at me from that. And so, first of all, we were kind of talking very briefly earlier in the show about how we have a session at our events this year about channel convergence. This is a phenomenon that's very real and it's inevitable. And if you are a managed service provider, a provider of IT services, and you're not doing voice in some fashion or another, you're going to be competitively handicapped, let's say, very soon, because you're going to be competing with companies that can kind of provide, one-stop shopping, essentially, for customers, and customers like that. But it's one thing to say, hey, you got to get into voice, and it's another thing to figure out how to do it, and it can be intimidating for people. And this sounds like kind of an interesting, relatively easy way to get into that. And for me, that would kind of make it worth investigating. If you're looking for something that will enable you to get into telco and without a lot of overhead, without having to learn a whole bunch, this is kind of an interesting offering. And then the other thing that I thought was really interesting was when he was talking about the opportunity to use this product to sort of go down market, if you will,
right,
into that micro SMB space. And so if you're looking for something that you can sell that's going to produce a little bit of residual income for you in that really, you know, under 20 seat kind of space, this might not be as powerful and sophisticated a solution as a 50 or 100 person company is looking for, but for a 5-10 seat business, this might be quite adequate, and it's a way for you to open up. If you're not serving companies like that already, here's a way to kind of expand your market base into a whole new bunch of clients.
And there was another piece of that I'm not sure I heard it right when he was talking about their affiliate program, that if the partner furnishes Uma with leads and doesn't want to, I guess, fulfill those leads, instead gives them back to Uma, did he say that they receive the same margins as full partners who are selling the system themselves and supporting it? That's what I thought he said.
I don't know if you get the same ongoing. There is, as he was talking about, there's the 4x monthly recurring revenue sort of reward that you get for delivering a new customer to Uma. So whatever the customer is going to be paying every month.
So that's what you get.
That's what you get.
But
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty generous.
Right.
Yeah,
and
Uma's always been a pretty generous company when it comes to this kind of stuff. I mean, their business foray is new, but I don't know if you guys remember how Uma got started, but they got started, offering a consumer product, VoIP product, where their stick was you spent $250 on the system and like the service was free. Do you guys remember that?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. And they still have like a home offering that is very similar to that. But you can like pay a little bit per month to get some extra features, but this is a great SMB, micro SMB product, because the base station, you're only servicing up to 20 people. So unless you get an expansion unit, you're looking for that little guy with a little office up to 20 people, and then you have some growth potential past that. I've always looked at Uma Office as a very good micro SMB solution. In fact, 2 years ago in my hardware room, I don't know if you remember this, guys, I was actually showing an Uma Office in my little hardware room. Did you guys know that?
I had forgotten that.
See, I'm always ahead of the game.
If you do say so yourself.
I'm going to rub my chest thing. Yes, if I do say so myself. Yeah, so it's cool. It's a great service. I have a kind of a long and storied history with Uma, going back to their roots and some people that I knew that used to work there. Shout out to Brian Jaquit, if he happens to be listening. So it's a great little product. Cool interview. Check it out. All right, let's do one more short break, and then we got to get into our end of the show features and get this wrapped up. So stick around. We got some museum and tech picks, and we're gonna be checking in with Mr. Joel. Not everywhere where he's been in the last several months, but where he has been recently, and Rich will gaze into his crystal ball and tell us everything that we need to know. So stick around. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back here with our end of the show roundup of regular features. So for those who have forgotten, and how can you forget Joel, because he's unforgettable, we follow our associate publisher, Joel, around the country week to week to kind of see where he is and where he's been, because he's a man who has a family yet lives in hotels and restaurants and lives on Delta airplanes. So this week, where's Joel?
Well, I think I know where he is right now. So Joel is the the Iron Man of the road, folks. So he was at the HDD show with me this week. We were recording this on a Friday. I flew home yesterday, Thursday. Joel flew out of Phoenix in the HDD show. I think he had like a 12:45 a.m. Flight. You know, 12:45 a.m. Thursday, basically. He took a red eye back home to Florida. And he wasn't quite sure if he was going to go straight there or stop at home or something, but he was planning to go to the IT Expo event, which is taking place somewhere, I forget where, somewhere, Fort Lauderdale, somewhere in Florida. It is Fort Lauderdale. And that's kind of a telecom-oriented show that's co-located with a whole bunch of other events all under the same roof. So, you know, catnip, irresistible to Joel. And
I was going to say, so he's getting converged, too.
Yeah, yep, yeah, exactly. So I'm pretty sure that's where he is today.
Is Joel hyper-converged, or is he just hyper?
He's a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. All right, so from... And he was somewhere the week before that, but let's not go over his whole history. So from wherever he was, then I know he went back to Miami, then to Phoenix, then to Fort Lauderdale, and to places unknown, Joel, the man of the skies. He should probably just get his own plane. It'd probably be a lot cheaper.
Who knows? Probably not.
Probably not. Okay, so... let's go... I got a museum and a tech pick. So... In one of our last episodes, I showed off a PCMCIA card. I don't know if you guys remember this. It was a PCMCIA modem. So I decided to keep the PCMCIA train a rollin', because one of my coolest add-ons that I ever got for any laptop I've ever owned is this particular card. So if you're listening to the show. I have a gallery where I put in usually a picture of all of the museum stuff that I talk about from my vast collection of stuff that my wife constantly tells me to get rid of, but I never will. So go there, and I got a couple pictures of this one posted for you and Rich guys. I put that as an attachment to the meeting if you want to pull up a picture of that. So this is a cool one. This is the Sound Blaster Audigy 2 ZS Notebook PCMCIA card. And there's a very specific reason why I got this and why I loved it and used it for many, many years. So I, at one point, long, long ago, I spent an absurd amount of money at the time, an extremely high-end notebook. The first notebook available that had a 7200 RPM hard drive option. One of the first notebooks with a 1080 by 1200 screen, 1920 by 1200 high resolution display. It had a really high end Radeon graphics card. So this was like my work and like my gaming machine. But one of the things that I was always disappointed with this machine is that it had really crappy sound. You know, like if you game on a desktop, you know, you get your nice sound card with EX effects and all this stuff. And I always found the sound in my notebook very weak. So when they came out with this, I'm like, this is fantastic. So it's a PCMCIA card called the Sound Blaster Audigy 2 that you could slam into the side and it would give you full hardware accelerated sound blaster deliciousness for your ears. With full EX effects, and there was a breakout cable to do 6-channel surround sound and digital in and digital out. I mean, it was just this little tiny card with so much sound goodness. Do you guys see the picture of it there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's a card, you know, but it was what it could do for the audio experience. And it was night and day compared to the audio chip that was in that laptop at the time. So, very, very cool, very cool product. So, any questions about that, or should I lead into my tech pick?
Well, as long as we're talking Sound Blaster. Yeah, tech pick.
Yeah, so my tech pick this week kind of leads into that. So, internal audio has gotten better. I'm not gonna lie. It's significantly better than it used to be. You know, Realtek in most cases, you know, you're going to get some kind of real tech on board, you know, sound chip. Some are better than others. But anytime you go on board, you always get this potential for a lot of noise and stuff coming from other internals, and, you know, and it's really good and certainly acceptable to most people. However, if you still want better sound than what the chip in your device is capable of doing, your laptop or tablet or whatever, you can pick up the Sound Blaster XG1. Now, they have a few different options. They have the Sound Blaster X Play and the G5. The G5, I think, would be kind of be like the modern day equivalent to the Audigy 2 ZS notebook card. But it's like $150. Now, if you have 600 ohm really high end headphones, you might want to go that route. But I picked the G1 specifically to highlight because it adds a heck of a lot of sound for the price. It's only like $50, and you can pick it up well cheaper than that if you're buying it through distribution or even through, you know, somebody like Newegg. You get it for like around $40, and it adds a whole lot of sound goodness, a lot of effects. It gets the sound off the motherboard, so it's a lot cleaner, way less noise. It's very small. It's easy to tote around. And this is the kind of thing that if you're selling products to gamers, if you're selling a notebook gaming machine, and you know that the audio in it isn't that great or could be better, or if you just even want to whatever, this is the kind of peripherals that you can sell to make extra money. And at $49, it's kind of a no-brainer if anybody who's a serious gamer wants to, you know, add that on. But this is one of these things that can make music sound better. It can make movies sound better and much more expansive. So really cool product. Now, it's not PCMCIA anymore because, you know, USB has kind of taken over everything. There's not like a lot of these card slots anymore. So you have to kind of plug it in. It's a little dongle, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. It's not quite as integrated, but it's cool. So Cecilia, I know you're going to run out and pick up like 4 of these for your kids' stockings for next
yes.
Christmas, right?
Yes.
So go ahead.
This is not just, we should say, I mean, this is not just something that's producing awesome sound. It's 7.1 surround sound. I'm just thinking, you combine this with the Project Valerie laptop, and you are in gaming nirvana.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, although if you can afford that one, you might want to get the G5, but if you can afford that notebook. But yeah, this is a, you know, anytime, if you're ever disappointed with the audio, if you do a lot of audio conferencing, if you do whatever, if you're ever disappointed with like noise or anything from the sound, they have this and the Play, at least getting the audio off the motherboard can make a huge difference when you listen through headphones. So definitely take a look at something like this. It's pretty awesome. All right, so that is my tech pick for the week, Sound Blaster XG1. Rich, we've missed a lot. So what did we miss? What happened in the days of yore?
Well, you are alluding to my Friday piece. Every Friday on channelpronetwork.com, I post a piece called Case You Missed It, which rounds up some of the week's news that was maybe overlooked, underreported. This week's edition, which as we record this, goes live in something like 8 minutes, it includes a roundup of announcements. So next week is the RSA conference, a big security conference. And security vendors have been trying to get out in front of that a little bit for the last couple of weeks, actually. And there was a ton of security product announcements this week. We'll be pulling those together for you. The Integrated Systems Europe show took place in Amsterdam this week. Didn't get a ton of attention here in the U.S., but there were some interesting product announcements relevant to our listeners that came out of that as well. And then I know everybody listening right now enjoyed the Super Bowl this past Sunday and probably saw the giant swarm of Intel drones during Lady Gaga's halftime performance. Turns out that is not the first time the Intel drone swarm has flown, and it's not even the biggest swarm that they've done. So I've got a little information about the whole history of Intel drone swarms that you can check out in that piece. And then Monday morning, so in case you missed it, runs every Friday, every Monday morning, first thing, what's up this week? Another one of my weekly posts runs, and it kind of sets you up for the week ahead, previews what's going to be happening in the industry. So we will be talking about the RSA conference, which I just mentioned before. IBM's Partner World show takes place next week. And as long as we're going to be talking about IBM in honor of that company, we will also celebrate the 143rd birthday of Thomas J. Watson, the legendary chairman and CEO of that company and the guy who turned it from a company that made scales and time recording devices into Big Blue.
Big old Blue.
Fantastic.
You know, a swarm of Intel drones right now is kind of a cool thing, but if you mount a machine gun to every one of those, you'd be pretty scared if a swarm of drones went up into the air.
It is sort of, it's sort of a mixed bag, isn't it? I mean, even if they don't have machine guns, it's just a swarm of drones hovering around. It'll get your attention.
It will. They're always watching. They're always watching. What do you think, Cecilia? You think drones are going to take us all out one day?
I've got to say, I told you, drones are going to be hot. We talked about this last year. And I said, you know, this drone thing is going to be really important. And I was right for once. Yay!
Hot Yay. And deadly. Just like you, Cecilia.
Yes. Yes. Just ask my children.
We should have them on so we can ask them directly. Oh, yeah. The stories they would tell.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that concludes episode 31, our welcome back, kicking it off again. That's a whole new ball game here at Channel Pro Weekly. So we're excited. Thanks for joining us for episode 31. If you have not subscribed, please, 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 please go and hit us up on iTunes and subscribe there. Or by the time you're listening to this, hopefully we will have been posted in the Google Play Music Store, so you can find us and subscribe to us there. Probably also on Stitcher coming soon and a wide variety of other places. If you're just using your old little podcast app and need a link, you can subscribe at channelpronetwork.com/RSS/CPW. Throw that in any podcast aggregator and it will pull down new episodes of Channel Pro Weekly, hopefully, and almost guaranteed now, on a weekly basis going forward. So every Friday, we should have a new show coming down for your weekend listening enjoyment while you do the dishes or drive around in the car or, you know, cut the grass or whatever you're happen to be doing. Let us come with you so we can gab your ears off and hopefully give you a little education and a little humor all at the same time.
And don't forget the giveaway.
Don't forget the giveaway. So between now and episode 33... we're giving away that Linksys AC2600 Moomimo router. Send any tweet or message on Facebook using to us on Facebook using the hashtag ChannelProWeekly. So on Twitter, we are at ChannelProSMB. Follow us there. We are Channel Pro Network on Facebook. So Facebook.com/ChannelProNetwork. You can find us there. I am at Matt Whitlock on Twitter. Cecilia, you are.
At SealGal, CEILGAL.
Rich, you are?
At Rich Free.
At Rich Free there. So you follow us if you want as we say ridiculous things or whatever we happen to do on the old personal Twitter accounts. But you can follow us there. Make sure you go and you like us on Facebook and subscribe everywhere. And tell a friend about us. And if you're at Google Play or iTunes, you know, maybe leave a rating and a review. We'd like to kind of get those going. Goes a long way. So, again, thank you all. On behalf of Cecilia Galvin, Rich Freeman, and everyone here at Channel Pro Network, we say see you all next week.